From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of a message entitled Preaching the Gospel, part of a series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled True Walking Posture. The text is found in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. His walk may be slow, but it is sure. He that hasteth to be rich shall not be innocent nor sure, but steady perseverance in integrity, if it do not bring riches, will certainly bring peace. In doing that which is just and right, we are like one walking upon a rock, for we have confidence that every step we take is upon solid and safe ground. On the other hand, the utmost success through questionable transactions must always be hollow and treacherous, and the man who has gained it must always be afraid that a day of reckoning will come, and then his gains will condemn him. Let us stick to truth and righteousness. By God's grace, let us imitate our Lord and Master, in whose mouth no deceit was ever found. Let us not be afraid of being poor, nor of being treated with contempt. Never on any account whatever let us do that which is our conscience cannot justify. If we lose inward peace, we lose more than a fortune can buy. If we keep in the Lord's own way, and never sin against our conscience, our way is sure against all comers. Who is he that can harm us if we be followers of that which is good? We may be thought fools by fools if we are firm in our integrity. But in the place where judgment is infallible, we shall be approved. At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. In verses 37 through 47 of Acts chapter 2, we find the reaction of the people to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. The scripture says that they were pricked in their hearts. The Holy Spirit wrought deep conviction of sin in them. Here we see the inevitable effect of true gospel preaching. Sinners are made to face themselves and will either surrender to Christ in salvation or will be hardened in their sin. Peter called upon his listeners to repent and be baptized and to separate themselves from the world and its wickedness. Now to introduce this message called Preaching the Gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're going to turn this morning to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, reading through to verse 47. We're taking 10 verses this morning, 37 through to 47, really 11, I suppose. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this passage from his word for his name's sake. You may remember that we have broken Peter's great sermon on the day of Pentecost into three parts for our easier consumption of it. And so we come this morning to the final part, the multitude exhorted by Peter at the end of his sermon on the day of Pentecost. In these verses we have the inspired result then of the great sermon which Peter preached. What a day that was when he preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 souls were added to the church of Jesus Christ, publicly came out on the side of the Lord Jesus and began to live lives, glorifying to the Lord, live lives in keeping with their testimony. What preaching that was in the day of Pentecost. What power there was. Thank God, what lasting fruit. As I read that portion of Scripture in preparation for this service this morning, it was my prayer that, oh, that today, and oh, that in these latter days of great apostasy and confusion and sin, we may again know that kind of preaching. Oh, that in our midst, we may again experience that kind of power. And oh, that we may again see that kind of abiding fruit for the honor of King Jesus' name. That's our prayer. And as we come to the passage this morning, let every believer come with that prayer. Let's not merely dryly analyze the record of a past day of blessing, but let's make every line the cause that we may pray that the Lord would come and visit us in similar fashion again. Now, in the verses before us, there are four main themes. There is, first of all, the theme of conviction. You will see this very clearly in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what must we do? When they heard the preaching, they were pricked in their heart. The word signifies they were struck violently. It has in it, in other contexts, the meaning of being stunned. There is the thought here of total amazement as God takes the word and he uses it as a hammer that broke their hardened heart in pieces. He used it in such a way as to bring these people to a dead stop. Now that's the kind of preaching I mean when I say, Lord, give us that kind of preaching in our day. That preaching which produces stunning conviction. That preaching which will make men to be struck violently by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, their sin had been exposed. Peter hadn't gone easy on them about their sin. And as their sin had been exposed, they were led to cry, what shall we do? When men feel their sin, when they feel the wickedness of their sin, when they feel the danger that sin puts them in, they're going to cry, what must we do? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Lord Jesus had been exalted as the only Savior. And when they saw Christ as the Savior and saw themselves as sinners, they felt a great desire given them by the Holy Ghost to close with Christ. And they cried, what must we do? In other words, under this preaching, these people received certain things from the Holy Ghost. They received a real conception of their own sin. I don't believe that there is real Holy Ghost power in any meeting where men do not see their sin. I believe that this is always the first strand in the workings of the Spirit. If you want it, the first plank in the platform adopted by the Holy Ghost for his dealings with man, they will get a real deep conception of their sin. They will tremble at the thought of their sin in the sight of the holiness of God. They received, therefore, a real consternation of soul. I fear, while I have heard it said, some come to Christ with tears and others come to Christ with laughing. The only thing that matters is they come to Christ. I fear there's a great danger in that sort of easy philosophy today. I don't see how a sinner can see his sin and come to a holy God with a smirk on his face. I don't see how a sinner can see his sin and come to Christ to be saved from hell with a laugh on his face. Or he may go away with a laugh on his face. My friend, let me tell you, there is need for deep, real consternation of soul. Men do well to be concerned. Men do well to be worried. There is only a hair's breadth between them and a lost eternity. My friend, if you are unsaved and you have never felt your sin, then it's time you did. Because if you don't become convicted pretty soon, I tell you the time will come when you'll be beyond conviction. Oh, there'll be enough consternation in hell, but it'll not be such as leads to repentance. They received a real conviction of their need of the Savior. They weren't ifing and butting. They weren't arguing. They weren't putting up a lot of blockades. They had come to the place that they really needed the Savior. They had a genuine concern about the urgency of getting saved. And therefore they cried, men and brethren, what must we do? That's the kind of conviction that the Bible says took place in the day of Pentecost. My friend, that's the conviction that we have got to get back to today. Now, these people were obviously hurt by the preaching. Preaching that never hurts anybody, I think, certainly will never do much damage to the devil and his kingdom. They were hurt by the preaching, but thank God they were healed by it. What a contrast. I'm only going to mention it, for we don't have time to follow it through. But what a contrast between these people in Acts 2:37 and those of whom we read in chapter 5 and verse 33. These are the religious leaders. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they took counsel to slay them. Or in chapter 7 and verse 54, at the end of Stephen's great message before his martyrdom, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. There here is, again, a very strong word. The word means literally, they were cut or sawn asunder. It's used metaphorically, of course, that the word went as a sword to their heart. It cut them, and it wounded them. But the tragedy here is that these people, after the wounding of the Holy Spirit, yet remained willful. Now, I tell you, when people hear the preaching of the word, there will be one of two results. They will either repent or they will not repent. Oh, the word may hurt them, but it's a faithful wound if it leads them to Christ. It's a good thing for them to be hurt if in feeling their hurt, they apply for divine healing. But oh, there are others, and they just get mad at the preaching of the gospel. My friend, I wonder, are you like that this morning? Oh, they just get their back up against God at the preaching of the gospel. It cuts them, and so therefore they surround themselves with all sorts of arguments. They vilify the preacher and the preaching. They turn away in their arrant hatred against God. I tell you, that's a dangerous thing. For when a man is wounded by the preaching of the word and becomes willful and stubborn in his sin, that man is well nigh lost. He's well nigh beyond the line of no return. It's a dangerous thing. There's conviction, and the Holy Ghost moves in conviction. My friend, it is well to move with him and to cry, God, have mercy on me. What must I do to be saved? From verse 38 through to verse 40, there is the theme of the great commandment which Peter gave to these people who would be saved. Now, these are interesting verses. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We have a denomination back home, I'm sure they do have branches in the United States. I don't know if there are people of the same name near here. I don't know if they're the same people or not. But they call their gospel the Acts 2:38 gospel, because they say, you must be baptized to be saved. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Therefore, they conclude, to receive the remission of sins, you must not only repent, but you must be baptized in the name of Jesus. If you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's not good enough. You've got to be baptized all over again. I always get worried with these churches that have multiple baptisms, that one baptism in another church isn't good enough for you. You've got to get baptized into our wee group all over again. I always get worried about those people. Well, these people call this the Acts 2:38 gospel. And they tell us that this baptism is in order to the remission of sins. Well, I think that we can dispense with that pretty quickly. There is repentance here, as I'll show you in a minute. And there is baptism here. And they both of them stand in some relation to the remission of sins. But I think when you take your Bible, you'll find that they stand in completely different relations to the remission of sins. That the repentance is something that must be experienced in order to receive remission of sins. And baptism is the outward sign of the inward work of the remission of sins, or the badge of profession of attachment to Christ, the badge of confession of having received the remission of sins. The word for, of course, is a very ambiguous word. When you hang a man for murder, you don't hang him or put him to the electric chair, as you do in this country in some places, in order that he might commit murder. You don't do it in order that he may become guilty of murder. You do it because he has been guilty of murder. And I believe that the baptism is because of the remission of sins. The baptism is on account of remission of sins. It is even at the remission of sins, certainly the result of it. And the word that is used for has at least six different significations. And we have got to take its meaning by the context and by what is known in Scripture as the analogy of faith. And the Scripture does not teach that if you're not baptized, you'll go to hell. Otherwise, the word of Christ to the thief on the cross would have been a lie. Christ didn't tell lies. He was going to heaven, that thief, and he never had a drop of water on him. Certainly not to be baptized. And he's in heaven. So there's no such doctrine here as baptismal regeneration. Remember that repentance is necessary to salvation. Baptism is the result of being saved. It is the badge that you are saved. It is the confession that inwardly you've received the cleansing of the precious blood.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.